And thanks, baby. And he wouldn't be coming. I knew that by 10 o'clock Friday morning, I had to give Cheryl some kind of an outline. So I looked around quickly and I thought, okay, this would be a great message to preach because we got the annual business meeting coming up. But during the course of Friday and Saturday, I just felt the Holy Spirit said, Pastor Sion, you know, you need to give them a fresh rhema word. So that sermon you have in your bulletin, we're not dealing with that today. You can put that aside. Yeah, you can keep yourself ready another time. But we're going to get into God's word. It's a different word. I don't have an outline for you. I don't have 3 points in the poem. But when God gave us his word, he didn't give it to us with 3 points in the poem. He just gave us his word. So you want to take notes, you go ahead and take notes. But our theme for this year is family, health, and togetherness. And I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit does what he does, because how can we get up and preach about family, health, and togetherness if we can't take time to pray for some family members in a service? You know what I mean? How can we talk about family, health, and togetherness if Carmen can't come into church when he hasn't been here for a while? But how can we talk about family, health, and togetherness if he can't come in and give a testimony? If Junie couldn't stand up and give a testimony, because this is what the church is for. And I believe that when the Holy Spirit told me, don't preach what you got outlined in the bulletin, but go with a different direction, it's confirmation as to what he's trying to teach us and enable us to be aware of. And so we've got to be in tune with the Spirit if we're going to experience spiritual things. And so our message today is taken from Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to look from verses 18 to 23, but because of the context, which is important for you to have, we're going to read all of Genesis chapter 2. But really, our message is only taken from 18 to about 23. Can you agree with that with me? Is that all right? Okay. All right. So let us read. And I need someone to come to the microphone and just read real loud into the microphone so that those that are watching by way of our live streaming can actually hear the words of the Lord. And while you're watching, I just want you to know we are aware that we have some technical issues, but we're fixing them. So don't get frustrated. Hang tight. We'll try to get them resolved by next week. But is there someone who wouldn't mind leading in the reading of the Word of God? Genesis chapter 2 to about 23. 23 verses is not too long to read in God's church. Amen? It's God's Word. You going to do it, Dagmar? All right. All right. So come so we can see you. They'll watch you on camera and see how good you look. And there you go.
So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation so that he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy because it was the day when he had rested from all his work of creation. This is the account of the creation of the heavens and the earth. The woman and man in Eden, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, neither wild plants nor grains were growing in the earth. The Lord had not sent rain to water the earth, and there were no people to cultivate the soil. Instead, springs came up from the ground and watered all the land. Then the Lord of God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Then the Lord God planted a garden in the Eden of the East, and there he placed the man he had made. The Lord God made all sorts of trees grow from the ground, trees that were beautiful and produced delicious fruits. In the middle of the garden, he picked the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river watered the garden and then flowed out of Eden and divided into 4 branches. The first branch, called the Pishon, flowed through the entire land of Havilah, where gold is found. The gold of the land is exceptionally pure. Aromatic resin and oxen stone was also found there. The second branch was called Gishon, flowed around the entire land of Cush. The third branch was called Tigris, flowed over the east of the land of Ashur, and the fourth branch was called the Euphrates. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord warned him, "You may eat freely of the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die." Then the Lord God said, "It's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him." So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sea. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them, and the man chose a name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals. But still, there was no helper just right for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to him. "At last," the man exclaimed, This one is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man."
You read that with such passion, Dagmar. This is my Bible. It is the unadulterated, inspired, authoritative Word of God for my life. I will read it slowly. I will read it prayerfully. I will read it carefully. I will abide by its precepts. I will live by its principles. And I will stand on its promises. I declare it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to preach to you from the subject, keep your stuff. I'm looking for substance. Look at your neighbor eyeball to eyeball and say, "Neighbor, keep your stuff. I'm looking for substance." I'll come get you later. Some of you know have no idea where I'm going with that, but just stay with me. Buckle in. We're going to go in for a flight. Just relax. I'll come get you. I'll come get you. Keep your stuff. I'm looking for substance. In order for you to understand the context, because I'm going to be dealing with from verses 18 all the way to 23, that's what I'm dealing with. But I can't deal with 18 to 23 unless I begin to give you from verses 1 of chapter 2 all the way to 18. And so when we look at the text, what we see, and bless Timothy, who enabled us several weeks ago with his little drawing. Just going to give you a little background. And we notice that God formed the earth, and there was no vegetation on the earth. There was no rain on the earth, and the earth was a very dry environment. There was no man to cultivate the hard ground. A mist used to come up from the ground and moisturize the environment. And so I told you some time ago that we think that water sprinklers are a new invention. God had one from day one. God formed man, and I want you to understand this, that man came from dust. Am I right? And God formed man. But man did not become a living being until when? When God breathed life into him. You need to keep that in the back of your mind. I'm coming with it in a minute. The Spirit of God was now in man when God breathed the life in man. Do I have a witness? Now God planted a garden, took man, and placed him in the garden with God, who was in the garden with man. So man cannot operate in life and be successful spiritually if God is not in his life. And God has created in every man the desire to be in his presence. So when you are not in his presence, you can't expect to have his blessings. Because Adam was in the presence of God, and he learned to worship, and he learned to adore God, and he learned to honor God. We continue by seeing that God calls every tree, God created all the trees in the garden to grow, and these trees were pleasing to the eyes. That's what the Bible tells us. The trees look good. I want you to know something, ladies, that men are visually stimulated. That's not a tool of the enemy. That's the way God made us. This is why you will see sometimes a guy could be married to Angelina Jolie, and he'll walk down the road with Angelina, but turn around and check out Cindy Crawford. All right? Now I'm old, so you can tell where I'm at. I don't know these young people anymore in Hollywood. So. We are created to be visually stimulated, so the trees were good. So ladies, don't blame your man if you catch him looking. Now the first look is okay, but the second look will get him in trouble. Now, I must have been Curtis on the tambourine. Last time we did this, remember how much you laughed? So we'll keep going. And we notice in the text that there were trees that were good for food. Up until this time, we were created to be vegetarian. And if you notice in the text, mankind was not allowed to eat meat until the fall. And so we were created to eat green. It's amazing how the more things change, the more they stay the same. Now we're coming back to the place where we're trying to get more vegetables in our diet. But God created us to be vegetarians. It was His first design for us. And so we find that the food was there. And in the garden, man had all the provisions that he needed. Good and evil were in man's environment. And man had the free will to choose which way he's going to go. Today, men still do have free will to choose which way he's going to go. And even in that beautiful environment where God was and Adam had everything that he needed and Eve had everything that she needed, sin still came in. So I want to say to you that no matter how beautiful the environment is, if you don't remain spiritually alert, sin can easily creep in. So you've got to be spiritually alert and aware of what's going on around you. You cannot afford to be complacent because your enemy rolls around like a roaring lion, seeking to kill, steal, and destroy anyone who would make themselves available to his schemes. I wish I had a witness this morning. And so man was not designed to live. Let me back up. God created rivers that flowed out of the garden. And so flow would allow or disallow for stagnation. What I see in the text that man was not designed to live in a stagnant environment. The fact that the rivers flow tells me that it was a life-giving source, because every life-giving source needs to have an inflow and an outflow. If you take it in, you got to pass it out. That's just the way life works. But man was not designed to live in an environment of stagnation. So this is why, young fellas, if you are in a relationship and it's not going any place and you begin to feel that you're stuck, you become very miserable in that environment. Not only men, but women as well. We were designed to have life-giving. There has to be flow. I'm setting you up for what I'm going to talk about. And so now we notice that life-giving environment had a flow in and a flow out. The things in this environment were growing and moving. This speaks to me about the aspect of change. Adam was not living in an environment where things stayed the same all the time. And if you and I are going to be the kind of Christians that God wants us to be, we've got to be open to change. There's nothing worse than being married to somebody who's stuck in 1942 and don't want to change. Amen? So you've got to be open to change and things. And the Bible tells us that the trees were growing and it was just an environment of change. Nothing stayed the same. Now, in this environment, all of man's basic needs were met. There was nothing that Adam wanted that he didn't have in this environment. He didn't have it all up front, but some of it came in time. And I want to say to you that a lot of our young people today, we want to have everything right now. We want to have the nice ride, the big job, the most beautiful woman or man, but we don't want to put in the time. But sometimes you've got to go through the process and wait for what God has for you. Amen. I know we live in a hurry-up society and everything is right now, but in God's plan and in God's economy, they may require you to do some waiting. Now, man had a place in this environment where he had access to resources that he could not even utilize at the time, because the text tells us there was gold in the land. Adam had no real need for gold. But I want you to know that God has put the resources in man's DNA. And so in every man and every woman, there's a desire to be in a place where there's enough and adequate resources so that our needs can be met. Are you still with me? All right. When a man lives in an environment where there are no resources, it works against his nature, and he becomes frustrated. And that's not a good environment for cultivating relationship. And so man was responsible for, in the garden, cultivating the garden. He was to be the husbandman, the gardener. I told you last time, he was to be the keeper of the garden. He could eat of his fruit, except from the tree of good and evil. And he had the responsibility of naming the animals. Man was designed to be close to God. If you want to be a true man or woman of God, you have to be close to God. To be close to God, you've got to spend time with God. We can't pull him out as a spirit. I was watching CNN the other day, and they're talking about this plane that disappeared, and all of a sudden now everybody's talking about praying. But once they discovered that this, where this plane is, and if you read my report, you notice I mentioned that it might have been taken by aliens. That was just there. You read the report. Man was placed in this environment where he was to cultivate, eat the fruit, name the animals. He was supposed to be close to God. But you can't be close to God only when you have a crisis situation. And this is what we see happening. We don't want to only call on God when life is going bad. You want to be able to call on God even in the good times. When you go to God, you don't want to have to introduce yourself. You should go and say, God, this is me. And he should say, I know who you are, what is on your mind, and have God answer your prayers. If you got to go and introduce yourself and give me a social security number, something is wrong. This was the environment for Adam. Now, Adam received God's instructions to hear them, to follow them, and to apply them, and to communicate those instructions to everyone else that came in his being, mainly Eve. I believe it's man's primary responsibility to be the communicator, the effective communicator in every relationship, every healthy relationship. But when you listen to most women today, the number one complaint, this fella does not communicate. He does not know how to talk. I mean, he can talk and make noise, but he does not communicate. Something has changed from what God has designed. Now, let's continue. Man was to receive God's instructions, which Adam did. But if man does not follow God's instructions, God already told them that you will suffer the consequences for sin. If you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. There are consequences for our actions. For every action, there is a reaction. Man is not created to live in isolation and loneliness. Now, the birds and the animals were brought to man in the garden, and man was given dominion over the birds and the animals and everything that creeps. You know that. I told you some time ago that we have authority even over the creeps, okay? You know that. Man became incomplete when his rib was removed. Woman completes man, but by adding to his life what he did not have in himself. Man completes woman by adding to her life as well, and they become a balance for each other. This is just the context that I want to talk to you about. Let's get into the real meat of the matter. In verses 18 of our text, the Lord said, after he has created everything that's good, he says, the Lord said that it is not good for man to be alone. Up until this time, everything that God created was all right. So if everything that God created was good, and then God said up until this time, it is not good for man to be alone. That means being lonely and isolated is not of God. If being lonely and isolated is not of God, then it is of the enemy. Because if it's either not of God or it's of the enemy, it's one or the other. There is no in between. So if God's desire is for you not to be alone, why is it that you come across people who walk around thinking that they don't need nobody and it's okay for them to be alone? If God doesn't think it's okay for you to be alone, why do you think it's okay for you to be alone? He doesn't want you alone. Now, some of us are alone because in order for us to be completed, it requires someone else walking in faithful obedience. And so some of us are waiting for life partners, not because we want to be alone, but because they need a life partner to complete them. All right? So stay with me. God doesn't want you alone. So you would think then, if God is saying that man should not be alone, then the next verse should be God putting in place the remedies for Adam's loneliness. But what does he do instead? You read the text. Now the Lord God formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. This doesn't make sense. If God just says it is not good for man to be alone, the next logical progression should have been, let me find him a suitable helper. This is like you telling me, Pastor, I'm sick, I need to go to the hospital. And I said, okay, let's go shopping for 2 hours. It doesn't make sense. But what is God really saying in the text? So when we look at the text, God decides that he's going to go start making the birds and the beasts and everything and all the animals. This does not make sense. So stay with me. Stay with me, stay with me, stay with me. Up until this time, everything God made was good. So if something is not good, it's not of God. We've got that covered. So if loneliness is not of God, then loneliness is ungodly. If something is ungodly, then I would say it's demonic. If loneliness is not of God's desire for mankind, we should not be desiring to live alone and think that it's okay. Now, why would God, instead of finding Adam his spouse, begins to create animals and birds? And when you read the text, this is what it says. Now the Lord God formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field, all the birds of the air. He brought them to man so he could see what he would name them, and whatever he called each living thing, that was its name. So man gave name to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. Stay with me. After such a statement, you would think that God would begin to set in motion a solution for Adam's issues, which is to find him a spouse, or to find him somebody who walks like him, talks like him, and acts like him. But this is not the case. God proceeds with giving Adam power and authority in naming the animals and God had made with the same stuff that Adam was made with. Pause there for just a minute. Where did God make Adam from? The dust. Where did the animals come from? What was different between the animals and Adam? Adam had God's spirit. The animals didn't have God's spirit. Here's the application. There's a lot of people trying to find people to hook up with that's made from the same stuff, but they don't have God's spirit. You might be from the same country, same financial and educational background, go to the same church, made from the same stuff, talk the same way, but if your soulmate does not have the breath of God, you are unequally yoked. And this is why there's a lot of folks who profess to know God, don't really have his spirit living in them, and then people hook up with them, and then they find out years down the road they're crying the blues because now they can't get the fella to go to church. Doesn't have the spirit of God. You may come from the same stuff, so hence our sermon title, I don't need your stuff, I need your substance. I'm not interested in your stuff, I'm interested in substance. I don't want to know what you're made of on the outside, I want to know what's going on the... You may look like me and you may talk like me and we may look alike and same brown color, but if the Spirit of God is not working from the outside on the inside, we ought not to hook up. And so now we notice in the text that whatever Adam named, he had power and authority over. Whatever Adam named, he had power and authority over. He named the animals. God gave him power and authority over the animals. whatever you name it, you better name it right. I was watching TV not so long ago, came across the Jerry Springer or the Murray Povich show, one of them shows, and two women are on there fighting over some man. So I decided I'm going to watch for a few minutes because I can't take much of it. If you're in your right mind, I don't know how you can watch that stuff for hours. But anyway, these two women are fighting over this guy, and that Negro have 5 children with 4 babies, mama, a pothead, lives in his mother's basement, and don't have no job, and they're going, "This is my man." Be careful what you name it, because we put people in positions that they're not ready for, and we call them things that they can't live up to. You got to be careful with that. Don't be calling something woman if she ain't ready to be your woman. Don't be calling something man if they ain't ready to be your man. And I think sometimes we set people up to fail by putting things on them that they really can't carry. So I turned the TV off. Now, in our society today, there are many women who would desire to be in a meaningful relationship, but the challenge we run into is a lot of men don't understand who they really are and who God has created them to be. I'm hoping that you young fellas here might hear me. I can't get much further with Fred. He's already set in his ways, so that's goodbye. Goodbye, Charlie. I ain't talking to Fred. Fred's gone. I ain't even talking to Ed. He's gone. Brother Paul is gone. Brother Morgan, they're gone. Uncle Elmer, he is set in his ways. I can't help him. But Tyvon, I could help you. Curtis, I could help you. Uh-oh, be careful now. And so we find in the text that even though the animals and Adam were made from the same stuff, there was something different because the animals did not have the Spirit of God. Even though they're made from the same stuff, created by the same God, they were unbalanced because God's Spirit was not in both sets of creation. And you got to be careful not to be living and shacking up and getting involved with people, doing business with people who don't have the same Spirit, because once they don't have the same Spirit and the business deal goes out, you will see a different reaction from those folks. Now, many women and men today are single because they're waiting for their life partner. Now, I say to you that what is dangerous about this is that because men are visually stimulated, we tend to focus and make our decision based on what we see externally. But what I see God telling Adam in the text is, don't look at what you see on the outside, look at what you see on the inside. But most men don't give some beautiful women a second chance to see what's on the outside, because they make their judgments about her based on what's on the outside. Then they end up getting married for the pretty girl who don't have nothing on the inside. And then they're miserable and crying the blues because there is no substance. I'm not expecting too many amens on that one. And the same is true. You go for Mr. Arnold Schwarzenegger with all the muscles, and then them same muscles end up beating you upside the head because you discover that he ain't got no brains, he ain't got no substance. It's all good. You don't have to give me any affirmation. I know what I'm saying is right. Gotta go for substance. When Adam looked at the animals, there was no substance. So the Lord God, no, you're way too ahead of me here, honey. I know you're probably pushing me to hurry up, but I understand. I'm coming. that's her hint. Probably close to 12:30. So you may have the same stuff. Is that stuff? That's that stuff I'm talking about. But if you don't have the same Spirit, you will not have any chemistry. You will not have no connectedness, nor any compatibility. Now, when you read the text, when Adam finished naming the tech, the animals, it says that, what did the Bible says? But for Adam, there was no suitable helper. Do you ever stop and think about that? Did God really expected Adam to find a suitable helper from the animals? Why would that statement be there? But for Adam, there was not one suit. Was God expecting Adam to find a suitable helper in the birds and the beasts? Well, why would it be there? This is the application. I think that sometimes we get so lonely and so desperate that we're willing to settle for beasts instead of waiting for blessing. And some of you have to go through enough beasts before you can appreciate the blessing. I might even go to say some of you might be married to some beasts. I don't know. Ooh, glory. Yeah. You better not say amen to that. Well, why would God say to Adam, why would the text says, but for Adam, no super helper was fine. How could this man find somebody like himself from the animal kingdom? But sometimes I believe that we get so desperate that we pick what's available and we don't wait on God's blessing. And we settle for what's beneath us. We settle for what doesn't complement us. We settle for what doesn't complete us. And I want to say to you, if you hear my voice today, don't settle for the beast, but wait for the blessing. Now, let me continue my saying here that Adam had the responsibility of naming all the animals. You got to name it right. If you're looking for a spouse, you got to name it right. You have to be able to identify a dog. You have to be able to identify a cow. You, man, this is a 7777. It's way over your head. I'll come back and get you next week, okay? You have to be able to identify a monkey. You have to be able to identify a donkey. A snake is a reptile. That's a different category. You see, now you're with me. Now you're getting it. Now you're working with me. So Adam had to name it right, because you don't want to name a dog wife. You don't want to name a dog husband. You don't want to name a dog a wife donkey. Oh, you don't want to... Now I've messed myself up. You know what I'm trying to say. You know. Oh, I'm coming to a close real quick. It's that stuff. So I came by to tell you today that as we read the text and we deal with relationships, it's important for you to identify your circumstances and name it right. You might be single, but you got to name it temporary. You might be broke, but you got to name it financial blessings is on its way. You might be sick, but you got to name it healing. You might be frustrated, but you got to call it help is on the way. You might be discouraged, but you got to call it that God will make a way out of no way. You might be hurt, but you got to call it help. You might be angry, but you got to call it temporary. Because whatever you call it, that's what it is. And you have authority to exercise over whatever you call it. Some folks have gone through, you have to go through enough beasts to know and to really appreciate the blessing. The birds and the beasts were not suitable for Adam. You have to know what will work for you and what's not going to work for you. Let me pause there for just a little bit. If Adam, out of his desperation, and we know the man was desperate, and we know he was frustrated, because when he finds the text, as Dagmar just read, Adam says, well, now and the indication that he's been waiting for a long time for change, and he's seen all the animals, was nothing there for him. But sometimes you've got to wait long enough and go through enough beasts before you can recognize the blessings. And so there was no suitable helper for Adam. And so I want you to know that sometimes you've got to go through some jobs before you find the right one. You might have to find a few churches before you find the right one. You may have to end up in a second marriage before you find the right one. You may have to discover several relationships before you find the right one. But if you're too frustrated and desperate, you will settle for less and you will call a bride beast. You will call beast bride. You will settle for somebody else's belonging and property. God did not really want Adam to see. God wanted Adam to see if he was really so frustrated, if he's going to be compatible with what if he was incompatible with the animal kingdom. But the text says, but for Adam, there was no suitable helper found. Adam named Eve like he named the animals. The only difference with Eve was that Eve was not made out of dust. Eve came out of his rib, and Eve was brought to Adam as a gift. If you wait long enough on God and don't settle for beast, you're going to have the gift in the blessing. And so I want to encourage you today that whatever situation you are in, if you can hold on long enough, you will discover the blessing in the situation. Now, Adam did not have authority to rule over Eve, because you don't rule over what you don't have authority over. Eve belonged to God. Hello, gentlemen. Eve is a gift from God. She is not like an animal that you rule over and have authority over. Lady, where the ladies at? Come on, you got to help me out here. Huh? Now, ladies, listen to this, and I'm coming to a close. The text tells us that after God created Eve, Adam says, ah, now, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Do you think he was frustrated in waiting for an appropriate woman? Do you think he was frustrated in waiting? So now that she comes his way, he has found relief. Ladies, if you hook up with a brother and he's more frustrated 20 years after he's married, something is wrong. I ain't going to get too many amens on that one. Now, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman. Adam has found relief. He's no longer living in frustration anymore. You were brought into our lives to eliminate frustration and loneliness. So if your man is living in loneliness and frustration, something is wrong. And there is nothing worse than being lonely and living a lonely life than to be married. It's quiet now, see? There is nothing worse than feeling lonely, than being in a marriage and living a lonely life and feeling loneliness. There's nothing worse than that. So I came by to tell you, I'm not interested in your stuff. I'm interested in substance. There has to be something on the inside, not what's on the outside. So Reese and Tyvin and Nolan, those wrinkles will fade, and those dimples will fade, and wrinkles will take their places. Work with me. I got lots to remember. I'm trying to keep on. Those dimples will fade, and wrinkles will take their places. You can't base it on the external. You gotta go for substance. And if you're waiting on a life partner, I want to encourage you, like Adam, they might be made of the same stuff, but they're different if God's spirit is not in them. You want to go for God's spirit. They gotta have God's spirit in them. And it's not only in marriage. If you're working with someone who does not have the Spirit of God in them, that's a very different work relationship. If you're living with a roommate or going to school with people that don't have the Spirit of God in them, it's a different environment. So I came by today to tell you, don't go for the stuff. Go for substance. Go for substance. Go for what's on the inside. And if it's not there, then you need to start praying that it will be there. Go for substance. Not the same stuff. Go for substance. I got lots more to share, but I think I've gotten myself into enough trouble today, so I think I'll just quit while I'm ahead. Why don't we stand together? You can't substitute events for substance. You can't substitute activities for substance. You can't substitute education for substance. You can't substitute money for substance. You can't substitute traditions for substance. You can't substitute service for substance. You can't substitute events and stuff for substance. You can't substitute possession for substance. And you can get all of those things. And all of those things are good. But if you don't have substance on the inside, you'll never enjoy those things on the outside. If you don't have substance on the inside, you will never enjoy those things on the outside. Join your hearts in prayer with me today. Lord, we live in an environment today where people don't want to wait for you any longer. They want to take matters into their own hands. They want to settle for what's beneath them and what does not complement them. But God, you want to give them a blessing, not a beast. I pray, Lord Jesus, that those of us who are waiting for life partners, those of us that are waiting on you, that we would be so patient and we'd be so diligent, God, that we would be able to recognize the difference between a beast and a wife or a spouse and make the right decision, Lord Jesus. We would call things like they are. We wouldn't call each other names, but we would call objects and things like they are, Lord Jesus. So help our people today to learn this simple lesson that we see in the text from Adam and what a beautiful environment they had once you completed him. Help every person in the sound, standing within the sound of my voice, to have this kind of a healthy relationship. But help them, Lord, not to become complacent, because when we become complacent, sin creeps in. So have your way with us. Continue to show us biblical truth. Help us to work our way through your word. Desire to be in your presence. Be close to you. Lord, worship you and to adore you, and let you be the pilot of our lives. I want to thank you for everyone standing here today. You meet their needs. Honor them as they honor you. In your mighty name we pray, and all of God's children say, amen. God bless you, and enjoy the rest of your Sunday afternoon.